Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I am not much of a shopper, especially when it comes to clothes, which is why I have this much room in our closet. But I noticed over the years that when we do go shopping and you go into the women's section or into the men's section, there's something that's always there that probably many of you never notice. What do they put in those sections? Chairs, the man chairs, yeah. If you look, there are places for us to sit while we wait. And this is what I do. I love to go, because I hate shopping, so I will go and I will sit in the chair because it is amazing the stories that you see unfold around you. So one day, yeah, thank you. She's been in the office lately, so I've been cueing her about when to laugh, and she's helpful. So one day I was sitting in the section of where the kids' clothes are, and there was a woman and her son and a slightly older sister to the son. And the mom was going through racks like you do, and she said to the young boy and the sister, "You need to go find some pants. Go find some pants." So they went off, and she was going through the racks, and he came back with a pair of jeans. And she said, "Okay, well, you need to go try them on." And he was a young boy, not a little tiny guy, but a young guy. You know, that weird age right when we're just about trying to get them to do some things by themselves. She said, "Go try on the pants." And he looked at her and he said, "You have to go with me." And she said, No. You can just go. Just go on. Go try on your pants." And he just said, "No, you have to go with me." And she said, "It's right there. I'll tell you what, your sister will go and stand out there with you." Well, you know how that went. "No, you have to go with me." So she again said, "No, go ahead and go try on. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will come and I will stand right there by the entrance to where you go in to go in and try on your pants." And he was having none of it. "You have to go with me." It was this amazing struggle as she sought to teach her son independence, and you could see he really kind of wanted to, but he just wasn't ready. "You have to come with me." So she said, "I'll tell you what, I will come and I will stand by the door, and you try on your pants." It's a struggle all of us go through as we learn to be who it is that God will make us to be, to separate us out from our childhood as we move into maturity. But it's a difficult journey. "Will you come with me?" he kept asking. It's the same question that Moses asks of God. If you remember from our lesson last week, the people of God had waited for Moses to come down from the mountain. And it took forever for him to come down. And so the people called on Aaron and said to Aaron, "Look, we have no idea where Moses has gone. Will you make for us a new god?" And they collected their bracelets and their necklaces and their earrings, and they threw them into the molten fire, and Aaron made for them the calf of gold. When Moses came down, he was slightly peeved at the whole thing. But shadowing even Moses' rage, the part that we don't get to read about, is the part where God is so angry with God's people that God wants to utterly destroy them all. Having led them out from the captivity of Pharaoh, God has simply had it with all of them and wants to destroy them. But Moses intercedes. Moses, in this wonderful conversation with God, says to God, "Look, why don't you just go before us so that we can see you? Of course, you know, the golden calf is easy to see, but you're a little bit more difficult to hang on to. Why don't you come and be with us? Unfortunately, in the RSV text, there's a terrible, I think, and sad mistake. In the Hebrew, God says, I will go. Period. In the English text, it says, I will go with you. It doesn't say that in the Hebrew. It just says, I will go. And Moses thinks for a moment, and Moses thinks, well, that's not quite what I asked. Because God, if you don't go, if your presence does not go, how will we know that you are, that we are your people? If you are not there before us, if your presence should one day not show up, how will we know who we are? Please, God, show yourself to us. And God says, no. I will go, but I'll tell you what. And we don't get this little section. God says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will send my angel out before me, and my angel will lead you, and that will be enough. And Moses thinks to himself, this is not what I asked for. And says to God, no, how will we know who we are and who you are if you do not come before us, if we do not see you? And finally, God relents. And God says to Moses, I shall do what you ask of me, and I will go with you. The verb in Hebrew is imanu, to go with, to be with. God, Emmanuel. I will go with you, and I will be merciful upon you, and I am merciful, and I will be your God. And finally, Moses is satisfied, but God still withholds. He says, I will go before you, but I will not let you see my face. When I pass by you in all of my glory, I will hide you in a cleft, and I will put my hand over you. And when I walk by and my hand is removed, you will see my backside. You will only see my backside. And so God leads God's people. And I will be merciful to you when I am merciful, and I will bring you joy when there is joy. I will be your God. I will finally do the thing that you ask. In times like these, this is the gospel I certainly need to hear. Like that young boy who begs his mother, please come into the changing room with me. We can't quite let go of this God who wants us on the one hand to be free and an adult and part of the world, and yet at the same time we cleave desperately to this God who goes before us. Like that little boy, we will never quite lose our love of God, but we will always need to be accompanied. In these days with hurricanes and floods and political unrest, in a time when women are rediscovering themselves as human beings in the face of sexual harassment, in light of tax changes and healthcare changes, and a world that seems on the brink of nuclear war, is there ever a time we could need a God like this more than now? A God who chooses to be Emmanuel? to walk with us? Sometimes we feel like that little boy and we don't want somebody to do everything for us, but we just want to know that this God who loves and cares and creates for us is simply there with us. Like that little boy, we eventually will all grow up. I imagine there will come a time when he will not remember the days when he needed his mother to go in with him to the changing room to get a pair of jeans. Although eventually we all get old enough that somebody has to take us in there because we can't go in there by ourselves anymore. We all grow up, but we will never grow out of the need for the accompaniment with God, Emmanuel, to be with us on our journey through the wilderness. And it is because of God's accompaniment and God's molding of ourselves and God's constant and loving presence that we too then are able to be accompaniers for the world. 10 years ago when I first came here, and we had been marching in the gay pride parade for some time, but 10 years ago, we were often either the only church that marched in the gay pride parade, or we were one of one or two churches that marched in the gay pride parade. So this week, we marched last Saturday. And I have to tell you, you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a church. The Episcopalians were there. The Lutherans were there. The Unitarians were in the Unitarian Universalists were in the float right in front of us with big speakers singing, "We are family." And one of the guys leaned over to me, one of the Lutherans, and said, "You know, could they just turn that down by half?" The Brethren, the Quakers were there. Even Baptists. Even the Baptists were there. Well, they wore masks over their face so nobody could see them, but they were there. As a clear and present witness of accompanying the least and the most afraid, proud and out. It was so cool, right up until the point that we got up to right where the Moana Surf Rider is. There was a whole group of guys in yellow shirts screaming at us with a megaphone. "You are not doing God's work. You are all sinners. You are all going to hell." And then they spotted me in my collar driving my little red bug. And the guy points at me and he says, "You are not a minister of God. You are a minister of Satan." I had no idea. It was awesome. I have a new identity. But how important is it for us in our being accompanied by our God to stand with those who are most in need? Those who hurt and are afraid and are reviled, victims of natural disaster, political targeting, and poverty. Not only will we never outgrow our need to be accompanied by our Lord, but we will never grow up that we should stop accompanying the rest of the world who God loves and cares for. And that is why we stand with one another and with the poor, in pride parades, in hurricane relief, in standing up for the rights of those who are most vulnerable in our country. And we stand with one another in hurt and in joy, and we rejoice in a God who shows us mercy in God's mercy. That little boy, in the end, his mother went in to the dressing room and he tried on his jeans and they didn't fit. And in the greatest humility of all, they had to send his older sister to get a different pair. But having completed this transaction, he left knowing from that place that he had in his life someone who loved him deeply enough to accompany him even into that strange place. As God accompanies us into the strange places of our life and is our God and the God of Israel for all of us. Amen.